How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Lakers. I am Anthony Irwin. I am old. I am washed up. My throat hurts. My back hurts. It was a birthday weekend that I won't soon remember, and it gets capped off today by E.G. on Leon not being on the Lakers any longer. So the 30s are off to a great start. The show is off to a great start. You can find the show on Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Today's Fast Break. Today's show is brought to you by BetDSI.com. Again, that is BETDSI.com. Use the promo code Lakers10 to get $10 free to use their service when you sign up and use the promo code. So we'll talk more about that here in a second, but let's go ahead and introduce our guest. He is of Lakers Outsiders. He is of Silver Screen and Roll. He is formerly of Lakers Nation. He is Gary Kester. Gary, how are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. Just getting kind of excited for the season that starts this week.
And then we also have Harrison. Harrison, how are you holding up?
Yeah, that's Harrison Fagan. I work for SilverScreenAndRoll.com, and it's fine. Anthony's just mad at me because I didn't go to his birthday party. But, you know, sometimes I have some of us have to work.
In fairness, I did not invite you to said birthday party, mostly because there was no birthday party. I am way too old for that kind of thing.
I don't buy it. I think you had one and you just didn't want to invite me because you're like last year I went and all your friends thought I was way cooler. So
you did kill it on the karaoke or the what was the lip syncing battles that we did. That was fun.
Yeah.
All right.
Hopefully footage of that never comes out. Don't D'Angelo me, man.
All right, so the big news tonight, and we actually have news to talk about. E.G. on Leon is no longer a Laker. He requested to no longer be a Laker, which I find, one, hugely amusing, and two, hugely interesting. Gary, what was your first thought when the e-news dropped? And I guess even before that, which way were you leaning between keeping Yi for the contract or keeping Thomas Robinson for the potential talent?
And Gary, before you answer, just know that it has to come in the form of a pun on Yi's name.
I just figured I'd let Anthony do all the heavy lifting for the Yi puns on this.
I can't. I threw out my back.
No, I mean, my initial reaction, I guess, was, I mean, I wasn't really overly surprised because I think, you know, I mean, a lot of us had talked about kind of the role that, you know, you would think he would be promised signing with the Lakers, coming back overseas. And, you know, I don't think we were ever going to see that materialize with the Lakers with just kind of the logjam that they have in the front court. So I guess my initial reaction is it probably makes their decision a lot easier on who to get. Give that 15th roster spot to, but I'm actually kind of happy because I understand kind of the value of Yi's potential contract as a trade chip. But as we've kind of seen in years past, the Lakers haven't really pulled the trigger on like any kind of deadline deals when it comes to that kind of thing. I mean, occasionally they have, but I think Thomas Robinson, even though he doesn't really add another dimension, he's kind of like Tarik Black. I think he's just a better player at this point, and he at least provides some service and some value, even if it's, you know, as a 15th man on the roster.
So Harrison, I found this interesting because it was asking or requesting that the Lakers waive him. Right now, it could be him saying like, "No, you can't fire me because I quit." Right?
That always looks better on the resume. Yeah. Which, I didn't get cut by the Lakers. I demanded out.
I demanded they release me, but they.
You should get fined for these.
For these? Is that what you're saying? But yeah, so on one hand, you could say yes. It's that kind of situation where, you know, the Lakers are doing him the service of leaking that, you know, he requested to be released. And, you know, moving on as such versus just outright cutting him despite the incentive that his contract offers. Which of those two situations do you think is more likely? Or do you think there is a likelier between the two?
I think that it's just he just didn't. You cut out for a second on my end, but you were asking about why he would have asked out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think that he came over and he was expecting to have a little bit of a role for the Lakers. I think that we all kind of thought that, I mean, I guess some people thought that he'd be a little bit better than he was. I was not an optimist, but even I didn't think
that's
that he'd
way
be
worse
this,
than anything I've done.
Even I didn't think that he'd be this garbage. Like he has been really, really bad. I have the stats pulled up a second ago, so I'm pulling them up again here. But the Lakers have now, with E gone, they have now cut their three worst players by net rating. The team was being outscored by 24.1 points per 100 possessions in the preseason while E was on the floor. He was just really, really bad, and so he wasn't playing that much. And so I don't think that—and he was getting outplayed by not only Tarik Black, clearly, but he was even getting outplayed by Thomas Robinson. And so I think he thought, even if Robinson wasn't on the team, he wasn't going to play over Black, whereas I think some of the thought was that maybe he offered the Lakers something different than Black did, and so that would give him a chance to get some minutes here during the regular season. But he was so bad that was just clearly not, I mean, it seemed pretty clear to me at least that was not going to happen. And so I think for him, I guess he decided that rather than get paid $250,000 to sit on the bench this year and then get traded at the deadline and waived, then I guess he decided that he would rather, I would assume, go back to China and maybe play for the team that he took a buyout from.
Yeah. All right. So I could see the situation, you know, like you're talking about, where he sees the writing on the wall and all of that. And
that's what Mark Stein reported.
Right. And I guess what I would be, if that is the case, right, and this isn't the Lakers doing him a favor and releasing this information. The way it's framed, that is, right? So if it's being released by his agent, you know, the agent could be like, yeah, we told him that we didn't want to be around anymore, you know? So if that is the case, my concern here is, and this has to do with Robinson sticking around, if the Lakers were intent on keeping Yi to have that contract and be able to move it, you know, as soon as they possibly can, which would, you know, December 15th or whenever it was, if that's their intent, then keeping Robinson, I don't know, is necessarily if that has to be the logical next step, right? Because if they're keeping Yi just as a contract, then they may as well just have the open roster spot and not have to worry about it at all. Right. Gary,
my counter argument would be that they could just cut Robinson at any time if they wanted the open roster spot.
Well, at some point his money becomes guaranteed, right?
You know, yeah, I guess it's just not that. I guess he'd get some. I don't think his contract is guaranteed. I don't think any of his contract is guaranteed. I'm going to look up the numbers, but go ahead and keep.
I just don't think that guys can play in the NBA for anything less, you know, for a completely non-guaranteed contract. Like, yeah. Most guarantees occur or they set in as soon as they make the roster. But Gary, could you see the Lakers just not keeping a 15th guy at all because of the replication that occurs between Tarik Black and Thomas Robinson?
I guess it's possible. I think it's probably pretty unlikely though, because I don't know.
Thomas Robinson's salary, would not fully guarantee at the $1 million veterans minimum rate until January 10th, 2017.
Huh. Okay.
Per Basketball Insiders.
Gotcha.
Well, I mean, just kind of back to your question, Anthony. I think that there'd be a greater chance of them keeping Metta World Peace on the roster, because you know there's been the report that they want him around as kind of a coach or a mentor, you know, for this young group, kind of like last year. I think it would be more likely that they would, you know, just keep him in that 15th spot and then hardly ever play him, just to keep him around, you know, as a mentor, than just have that roster spot open. You know, mm-hmm. I think it would be very, very unlikely that they would just leave that roster spot open at this point.
Yeah, I agree. I think Robinson sticks around. But Harrison, you and I disagreed before we went on the air about, you know, about the situation.
No, just come on. No. Have some pride.
But
this is a sponsored show. You are slapping Bet DSI in the face right now with even attempting that one.
Man, I just have a visual that came about from The Walking Dead. That for those of you who are reeling, I am here for you. I'm giving you an air hug.
All right, let's not spoil any shows.
I'm not going to. Okay. I'm not. All right,
go ahead.
Anything.
But let's keep talking.
But yeah, so basically, the crux of our disagreement was that I don't necessarily the logical step that I just took in the last question I asked Gary doesn't necessarily have to be the case, right? What was your counter?
That why wouldn't the Lakers just keep an open roster spot?
No, about the circumstances surrounding Yee's dismissal or you know, would it be resignation?
It sounds like he wasn't getting the role he wanted and he just wanted out. So I guess like resignation would be fair to say.
our freaking listeners.
I should have never agreed to come on this thing.
Yeah, I apologize, Gary. You picked the wrong podcast to join.
I was not told that this was going to happen.
But so
are you talking about that the Lakers, you were saying before we came on the air that the Lakers shouldn't necessarily be off the hook for considering keeping E just for his contract, because you are still of the mind, I take it, that that would have been a bad decision?
Yes.
Okay, so, I mean, again, we don't know for sure. We can't know for sure that they weren't going to cut him anyway, and I still would agree with the logic of keeping his contract if he hadn't asked to be bought out.
My concern with keeping him is just for the contract, especially if it would have occurred that, you know, he was being kept as a trade chip over Thomas Robinson, who earned his spot almost inarguably, right? That, you know,
as close to inarguable as you can be on that, yeah.
Especially between those three guys. If it's, you know, it's between Artest, E, and Robinson, it's pretty inarguable in terms of what he brings to a basketball court that any of the other two guys deserve a spot over him. So
yeah.
If I'm a young Laker and I haven't been as introduced to the business side of this thing, you know, of playing in the NBA, and I look at such a glaring and, I guess for lack of a better term, gross example of business taking precedent over, you know, actual basketball talent, that would be kind of eye-opening. And I don't know how the Lakers would react to that, especially because, you know, Thomas Robinson isn't that much older than these guys, right? He's in... you know, I would imagine he's about 25, 26-ish.
Yeah, he's 25, I think.
And so these guys are looking at him work his tail off and earn a spot on the team. And then, you know, they see him get his kind of walking papers. And they're just left sitting there like, oh, cool, so we're keeping this guy. Why? You know, and I don't know if the Lakers would be smart to set that kind of precedent with such a young roster. Gary, am I psychoanalyzing too far there, or do you think that that's something that would cross the Lakers' minds?
I don't know. I mean, I think you have to kind of consider all angles on it. Like, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of value in having a trade chip like that. But you hear all the time from players, GMs, coaches, like, I mean, at the end of the day, it is a business, you know? And like I said, all angles kind of have to be taken into consideration on what is probably just going to be best for the team. And I mean, the thing with these two or three, I guess, if you include Mitchell World Peace, you know, with this 15th roster spot,
you have to include him.
Yeah. Well, the thing with this 15th roster spot, though, is, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about it for somebody who's probably not going to see the floor hardly at all, you know, no matter who it was. So I think there was definitely an argument to be made for, you know, Yee being on the roster simply for that contract, because, you know, even if Robinson's on the roster, I mean, how much of an impact is he going to make? He's a nice player that plays hard, you know, high energy, high motor guy, but the Lakers have so many big guys that can play the four or play the five that it's going to be tough for him to see the floor. So I think, I mean, there's a fair case, I think, on both sides, whether you wanted Yee's contract or if you, you know, just wanted Thomas Robinson just simply because he's a better player right now.
And Anthony, I can kind of see what you're saying about how it might have undermined the Lakers' culture of competition that they're trying to create. So I kind of get what you're saying there, that it could have kind of hurt that, since they've talked so much about everybody's got to earn everything right now. And so I get that perspective, but I think that it's the type of thing where, you know, they could have sold it as, we haven't seen everything that this guy can bring. You know, he's still adjusting to the roster, whatever platitude you want to throw out there, that he's a vet, you know, I don't know. They could have thrown other excuses out there while still keeping him for the potential contract value. And again, I just think that for Thomas Robinson to actually make an impact, so much would have to go wrong for the Lakers that, you know, it almost makes, and then it's almost pointless anyway, because he would be a free agent at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing, you know, that's what we do at this time of year, because it's all there is to analyze, is we just argue to death about who should make those final roster spots, despite the fact that most of those guys will not have an impact at all anyway. Like last year, it was, I guess you would argue that, what, it's like Meta World Peace and Ryan Kelly were like kind of those two furthest at the end, it was World Peace and Sacre. And neither of them ended up making any type of impact on the Lakers last year. And it's not like there were a ton of minutes there for Jabari Brown or Robert Upshaw if they had made the team. And so I think it's going to be a similar thing this year, where we fight about this for all of August and September and through the middle of October. And then, you know, even if Robinson makes the team, he's averaging 3 minutes a game by January, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree on all of that, and yeah, there is nothing else to talk about. But this one, this didn't feel like the typical conversation about, you know, the 15th guy on the roster, because it didn't have hardly anything to do with, you know, one player's on-court attributes, right? It had anytime the case was being made for Yee, it was like, maybe he gets it together. But even Ben said it. You know, Ben Rosales said that it actually makes his case stronger if he plays horribly and isn't able to get on the court, because his contract becomes all the cheaper, right? So this didn't feel like the typical, you know, like last year it was Sacre and Upshaw, and, you know, and the conversations that spewed from there, and I'm giggling thinking about them now. but with this, you know, or with those ones, it was, all right, yeah, you know, maybe Sacre offers this, and we know what Sacre offers, but Upshaw might be able to offer this, and he has, you know, what would you think is a higher ceiling? And it was a purely basketball conversation. This was so obviously business-driven, or not necessarily just business-driven, but
off the court driven.
Yeah, it's just
it's not really a business thing. It's not like they were out there trying to peddle e jerseys, but
yeah,
I mean maybe a little bit, but
is what you're supposed to say, yes.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they were out there doing that and marketing him a whole lot, but
I think that the point of this show is
most fun that I get. Gary, we need to bring you on just for your exasperated faces, like you're during this whole thing. But no, I mean, there were, it's just a different type of value, right? It's not on court value, but it's value. It's still value to the roster. If you can end up bringing someone in or bringing in some picks, if a team wants to shed salary or that type of thing, you know, like, maybe the Cavs end up deciding that they want to dump someone if they're not like doing as well, or there's a guy that's out of their rotation and Dan Gilbert wants to save on luxury tax and decides to include a couple second rounders or something, or, you know, maybe there's a situation like that with some team. And then you can get a little bit of added value for E's contract and just that money saving. So it's not totally, it's just not business is, I guess, the distinction that I would make there.
All right. So, Yeah, it's,
but it is off the court, so I get what you're saying.
Right. All right, so really quickly before we move on, and we'll talk a little bit more about the Ron Artest versus Thomas Robinson conversation that's going to spout now, because, again, we don't have really anything else to talk about over the next couple days. Before we get to that, I do want to talk about our sponsor for the show, BetDSI.com. Again, that is BetDSI.com. Basically, they've been in the business for 20 years. It's a safe environment. You feel really comfortable while you use the app. And sometimes when in such you know websites where you're trying to gamble and that, you feel kind of shady doing it. I never feel that way when I use the website at all. And you know, it's kind of fun to be able to have, you know, a hypothetical dollar on any given game. It just makes a game that much more fun to watch. Harrison, what are some of your favorite aspects of BetDSI.com?
Well, it's not even that you can just necessarily put money on games, because, you know, technically as a journalist, I'm not allowed to do that. So you could also, if you wanted to, you could bet on their odds on Trump versus Clinton, or you could bet on elections if you're feeling particularly nihilistic. And so, there, you know, there's that. And it's like you said, you want to feel safe when you're gambling online. You want to feel like you're not in like the shady back alley of the internet, and you won't feel that way on BetDSI. I also appreciate that, you know, as someone who likes to see their dollars go a little bit further, that they're giving an 100% bonus on your first deposit right now. And again, you can bet on all sports there. It's not just basketball, although I would imagine the majority of our listeners are probably going to bet on basketball, or, you know, maybe they even have odds on the final roster spot that you can you could bet on Meta World Peace versus Thomas Ra. We should have checked that before we went on here. But, you know, they might have that for you. And again, it's just, you can go on there and you can bet all sports, and you're going to feel safe while you're doing it. They've been in the business for over 20 years.
Yep, absolutely. So again, that is BetDSI.com. Use the promo code Lakers10. Again, that's a different promo code than we've been asking you to use with previous.
We finally don't have to LOL at the Lakers. It's Lakers10 is your promo code, and with that, you'll get $10 free to try their service. So that's $10 that you could wager on whether or not E gets his rosters. But, well, it's probably too late for that by the time you're getting you're betting on this. But you're listening to this. But you could bet on, you know, maybe Meta versus Thomas Robinson, or you can bet on the Lakers season opener against Houston, you know, if you think they're going to shock the world.
I can't help but notice I don't know if it's irony, it's more coincidence of the Lakers release Ye, and now the LO Lakers promo code is gone for this.
Well, it's
for
not
this
gone. Particular. It's just not. Yeah,
for this,
not
for this, for this sponsor, for this sponsor. Yeah. So, anywho, all right. So that's BetDSI.com again. BetDSI.com, and use that promo code Lakers10 to get your free wager. And then on top of that, there's a 100% bonus on your first deposit with the website. Yeah, it's just
they're giving you free money all over the place.
Basically, yeah. All right, so back to the discussion. It is now because
speaking of free money, I was gonna say, you know, ease contract, but yeah, you know, that's probably gone now. So
are you okay, Harrison? Because you're like way behind.
I'm trying to, you know, my segues aren't on point tonight.
Yeah, that was worse than all of the puns that you've made.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, it was easily worse.
So now it's Thomas Robinson versus Meta World Peace. Gary, I will give you my free $10 on betdsi.com if you can convince me that Meta World Peace deserves a roster spot on the Lakers.
Oh, here we go. That's free money, Gary. You could do this. I believe in you.
I mean, this is pretty easy. Like, I mean, have you seen the guy interview?
All right.
The entertainment value is through the roof.
No, but seriously, I can see a case for keeping him, I guess, if the Lakers really think, because, you know, they're inside the building. They know better than we do. If they really 100% feel like he's going to make that much of a difference on their young guys, then I could see a case for keeping him if they don't think that he'd stick around as an assistant coach, which so far it doesn't sound like he's super amenable to. So, I mean, if we're playing devil's advocate here, I guess that's the case that I'd make, is that there is the chance that that Walton knows that that's a veteran that he really has in his corner that he can trust, a former teammate. They know he's not going to cause problems. Maybe he really is in Randall's ear that much. And so maybe it's that, I mean, you do see when you're at the games, he is in guys' ears the entire game on the bench, you know, and that's the thing is, again, he's on the bench the entire game because he's not most likely going to play for the Lakers outside of token minutes, but he really has embraced that role of veteran mentor. So if we're making a case to keep him, that's it, I guess. And you know, again, Thomas Robinson most likely is not going to play very much, and he a free agent at the end of the year. So it's like, how much value are you really getting from either of these guys going forward? So if you really feel like Thomas Robinson is just a one-year flyer that's not going to stick around, then maybe you value Meta World Peace more. And that has been I try to earn $10.
Well, I think it's a little different though than last year, because I think last year it made a little more sense, because I mean, this was this group's first year together. You know, Russell was a rookie, you know, Nance was a rookie, and it was Randall's first year. But, you know, the Lakers went out and spent, what, $136 million on two veteran free agents. You know, I mean, obviously for their on-court production, but, you know, also because, I mean, you've heard Luol Deng mention it specifically that they wanted his veteran presence in the locker room. So the Lakers went out and spent a lot of money on guys like that I don't think they necessarily had last year. So I think, you know, I think that whole situation is a lot different this year, where that could probably hurt Meta's chances to make the team solely, you know, as just kind of a mentor for these young guys.
So what just happened there? I was leaning, Harrison. I was almost ready to give you my $10 at betdsi.com, but Gary came in and slammed that door shut. So I will instead be keeping my $10 on betdsi.com.
You mean keeping.
You could do the double pun there, the keeping. All right.
I am so sorry to all of our listeners that we're doing this tonight. I can't stop. I'm trying to. I can't.
It's just
sorry for myself.
Yeah. So, Gary, I'm sorry. Our listeners, I'm sorry. This isn't us normally, I promise.
All right. So when it comes to Ron Artest, or when it comes to Meta World Peace, leverage comes into play here, right? And what other team in the NBA is going to be like, all right, we need that guy on our team? Right, so he has this idea that he still wants to or is able to play in the NBA, and I'm not.
He's went overseas before though to go play. It's not necessarily just the NBA. He's saying he's saying that he wants to play professionally. So maybe he heads back to China and retakes on that Panda's best friend nickname. What was it? It was the Panda's friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So maybe he becomes the panda's friend once again. Maybe he, you know, maybe he goes back to Italy, and I don't know if he came up with a zany nickname there. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Meta World Pizza or something. Like, I don't know. So I don't know. You know, who knows where in the world Meta World Peace wants to go next? I'm excited to find out if he decides to not stay with the Lakers. I'm always in for some Meta World Peace exploits.
I think, look, he's now gotten, he had the initial taste of being a Laker, right? And the fame and popularity that comes with being a Laker. And then he steps away, and sure, I would imagine he was highly popular in every stop that he made, because he has a very magnetic, you know, energy to him. And he comes back here, and he gets, you know, you never really notice how much you love something until it's gone. And then there are precious few people who really understand what it's like to get that kind of thing back, whatever that thing was that you loved at the time before you lost it. And he had that opportunity here with being a Laker. And I think at this point, I think it's more, while he might say he's interested in playing, that's perfectly well on him. And I'm sure he could. I'm sure he could go to China and again, be very popular there. But I also think that, you know, after being around the kids and being back with the Lakers organization, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he kind of sat down and said, you know what? Just being a Laker and being associated with the Lakers is important enough to me to say, you know, to at least put, you know, the last couple of years of an already fading career on hold or ignore them altogether. And if it takes coaching to do so, then that's all on him. But what I flat out cannot or would not be thrilled seeing is the Lakers leveraging themselves into the situation where they're the only ones negotiating against world, you know, for world peace, meta world peace, that is.
You heard it here first. The Lakers are the only ones negotiating for world peace. They are the heroes this planet deserves.
So, oh man.
Who they're negotiating with, I don't know, but we'll find out. Solve it for us.
It's Trump. They're definitely negotiating directly with Trump.
Come on, man. We can't get political here.
I didn't say anything political. All right. So, anywho, if I'm the Lakers, what I cannot do is you know, back myself into a corner where I'm telling myself Meta World Peace's leadership is such that we absolutely have to do whatever it takes to keep this guy around. And look, yes, Thomas Robinson is a one-year flyer in all likelihood. And yes, he's only going to play probably 3 minutes a game. But if veteran leadership is that important, give Kareem a damn contract. Give the Dalai Lama a contract. Give Gary a contract. He's nice. He can get along with people. Keeping our test around just for mentorship, when that's literally a coach's job, it doesn't make much sense to me. When, especially on top of everything that I just said, like Gary said earlier, they have mentors on the team. They have veterans that they paid a bunch of money for. It just doesn't make any sense to keep Ron Artest around. So I'm keeping my $10. I'm sorry, Harrison.
Especially with the coaching staff that they have now. Like last year, it probably provided a lot of comfort for those young players to be able to have somebody like Meta to turn to, you know, when Byron would go off on them. And yeah, this year, I mean, they don't really need that outlet.
Right. I agree. Harrison, do you have a rebuttal to those things, or am I okay to keep my $10 in my wallet?
I mean, I could use the $10. Is that a good enough rebuttal?
That works. All right. So the takes haven't gotten quite hot enough, and it's Monday, which means it's time for everybody to get yelled at. Harrison says he has a really good hot take for today. So Harrison, let's go ahead and get the sound going. Let's get yourself warmed up. Do you have ice ready just in case?
I do not have ice ready. There's not ice in my veins tonight ready to cool down this hot take. So it's going to be a doozy.
All right, here we go.
All right, Anthony, Gary, I hate to say it, but the national media, as always, was right. Brandon Ingram might be getting currently crushed under the pressure of using Kobe's locker, but D'Angelo Russell's the new Kobe. First, no one wanted to play with Kobe. Now no one wants to play with Darsnitchelo Bustle, or whatever we're calling him these days. No one wants to play with D'Angelo Russell, and the Lakers are a disaster. First, there was Carmelo Anthony. He almost signed with the Lakers, and then boom, he realized they were the Lakers, and he went to a more stable organization. Then, LaMarcus
Aldridge was... Hold on. A more stable organization is...
Shut up, Anthony. LaMarcus Aldridge was leaking the whole offseason before free agency that he wanted to go to L.A. Like, there were rumors coming out every single day. Oh, LaMarcus is going to be in L.A. So the Lakers draft D'Angelo Russell, and then all of a sudden, LaMarcus Aldridge doesn't want to go there. They brought out Adam Levine to recruit him, so I literally don't know what else could have caused him to go elsewhere. And so now... the Lakers, they're finally getting past this stuff. That, you know, they got through last year's embarrassment of a Kobe farewell tour, and then they're finally able to lure a max caliber player this summer. The Olympics leading scorer. He comes over, and then he sees that the team is so bad, such a train wreck, that he decides to ask out. I mean, how much lower can the Lakers sink? It's clear there's turmoil at the top. Turmoil, I say. And I don't know how they come back from it. I think once E walks out that door, I don't know what other superstar you're going to be able to bring to the team. I think it's just over for them. They honestly, I mean, when I said a couple weeks ago that a meteor should just hit the planet and eliminate us all because Kobe's better, I just don't see how E leaving the Lakers makes a case against that. So I think that the Lakers are done. They should fold the franchise. This is just embarrassing for everyone at this point. I think it's time to go home. It's over.
All right. I have a lot of points to make. My first one is I'm already home, Harrison.
I mean, that's nice for you.
Aren't you home right now?
You wouldn't know.
Gary, aren't you? You're at home in Siberia.
I am.
So when you keep saying go home, like, what do you mean go home?
I don't know. I feel like you're getting caught up on semantics, man.
Incredibly fair point. In a line of all the fair points, that's the fairest. All right.
So yeah, I mean, I think I don't see how you can't go with Luke Walton being a big part of the problem now. Oh, I mean, there was D'Angelo Russell, and then Luke Walton is asked expressly in a press conference if he ever kisses his players. And he said, no, I'm not planning on kissing my players. Well, Luke, maybe if you would have showed your players a little bit more love, he wouldn't be trying to rush back to China. He's like, my coach hates me. I can't deal with this. It's too much pressure. Who's to say that other players aren't going to leave the Lakers because Luke's not showing them enough affection? I think that this is just a major, major issue for the team. And, the problem starts just at the very top with the head coach. I think Luke is causing problems for them now. You know, we thought that he was going to bring over some of that Golden State positivity, but it turns out that without Draymond Green, he's nothing.
Not a thing.
Another case for Harrison getting that $10 is just to fan himself with it so he can cool down a little bit.
He actually had to get ice for himself last year. Like, last hot take. He needed ice. Harrison,
absolutely in pain after the show from yelling.
All right, that does it for Harrison's hot takes. And this is where we send out the challenge to all of you, our listeners. Can you top Harrison's hot takes? In a way, I am standing on a corner screaming and yelling at people, hear ye, hear ye.
Oh, come on, man.
We need your hot takes. So, our past challenge was, you know, in order to qualify to get a pair of Mack Weldon socks, you just had to say Kobe better on our review page. You guys did that. We sent out the socks to @list10. So hopefully they got those already.
Thank you for listening, @list10. Yep. And I hope you enjoy your socks as much as I've enjoyed mine.
Yep. Thank you for list10ing, @list10. And this week, the challenge is going to be, can you top Harrison's hot take? We need you to leave a 5-star review and then give us your hottest Lakers take, or your hottest whatever take. If it doesn't even have to be late. Well, make it basketball centric because there can.
And hot. No, let's go hottest Lakers take.
All right,
hottest your hottest take about the Lakers based on just the preseason and or their first game. Mm-hmm. So just the preseason and or their first game. We're gonna read the best ones on the show on Friday. And I mean, I hope that you guys will have as much fun coming up with them as I do.
Can we expand it to about the show too? Like
if you got a hot take about the show, that's fine. Go that for works. It. But just yeah. don't give us a 1-star hot take.
Don't
do that. That's messed
mean.
Up. Come on. Yeah.
You're listening we to try. This for we free. Try. Like I've never understood that. You're listening to a show for free. And
okay,
and
let's not get review. On our high horse here.
All right. All right. I'll
steer
stop.
A different well, direction.
I'm quoting ahead. All right, so that does it for this show. Again, make sure you use the promo code Lakers10 at betdsi.com. That's BETDSI.com. You can find all our shows on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. Oh, and TuneIn as well. Thank you very much, Gary, for hopping on tonight at this late hour. In Siberia, is the sun up in Siberia? Is that?
I'm not even like the whole time thing wasn't the issue. It was all the ye puns I had to endure however long.
Everyone, just give Gary a follow at Gary Kester. He needs the pick me up after having to listen to ye puns for 40 minutes and also get screamed at. So,
absolutely.
I think he's definitely going to need that.
Absolutely. Make sure, so you find the shows where I told you to find the shows. Lakers 10, that's Lakers 10, LAKERS, and the numbers 10, to get your $10 free on betdsi.com. And then they also have their 100% bonus on the first deposit there. So have a little bit of fun with that, and we will talk to everybody again down.
Hi, I'm Paul. Verizon has been placing giant letters all over the country to get people to buy into their unlimited plan. Don't get hooked. Switch to Sprint Unlimited, $22.50 per month per line for 4 lines and get the 5th line free. Hurry to your local Sprint store, visit sprint.com/unlimited or call 1-800-SPRINT-1 today.
Savings until 10/31/18, then $38 per line per month for 5 lines with auto pay, excludes taxes, surcharges, roaming, streams, DTL, PHC, 1080p, music to 1.5 megabits per second, gaming update, megabits per second, subject to credit, $30 activation fee, prohibited network use, rules and data deprioritization apply compared to Verizon Beyond Unlimited. Carry features, different coverage and offer not everywhere. Restrictions apply.